Ernest, listen up. When people all around the world first started going out protesting this summer, you'd hear it over and over. This time is different. But how? And who are the people trying to make it different? In Gimlet's new podcast, Resistance, host Saeed Tijan Thomas Jr. brings us stories from the front lines of the movement for Black lives told by the generation fighting for the change. It's a show about people refusing to accept things as they are and how we can make sure this time really is different. Resistance is out now. Follow and listen for free on Spotify.
All right, guys. So a lot of people ask us, how do they make a podcast? So I'm going to let you know on a secret. On the easiest, most productive way to start a podcast and get it up and running, and that is the app called Anchor. It's free. They have all kind of cool creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. They will distribute your podcast for you to all of the major outlets, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one simple, easy place. So if you're interested in starting a podcast, go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's do it.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
We're going to talk about some financial tips for everyday people, right? We're going to try to give a few gems that people can use in their day-to-day life, because a lot of times, as you said, we don't know, and it's an ongoing learning process, right? So one of the things I want to talk about is that we covered credit and the importance of credit. And I know you have a credit company, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I got a question in DM where somebody says, like, what's the best way to pay off your debt? Like, I know some people have a process where they pay off the higher interest credit cards first. Some people do the lowest balances first. Yeah. Like, what's your philosophy on that?
Yeah, so I like the lowest balance philosophy. And so I wrote a book called, you know, What the FICO, 12 Steps to Repairing Your Credit, right?
Yeah.
And I talk about the snowball is what it's called. But the reason though, right? The reason why the philosophy on taking your lowest balance and paying that off first is important is because you want some small wins, right? It's the mindset. I've seen people who try to say, all right, you know what? This credit card is charging me the highest interest rate, and so I'm going to pay that one first. And then they're paying the minimums, and they're trying to pay that off, and they wind up looking at their credit card balances each month, and it looks like nothing is going anywhere. They get discouraged. They wind up doing something else because they don't see any forward motion. The best way to pay down credit card debt is, it will always be, to take all of your credit cards, put them in order from smallest to largest balance. Make sure that you pay off the minimums on all of the cards. But it's going to start with a budget, right? You're going to have to budget a certain amount. You're going to say, you know what? I'm going to budget $400 each month towards debt. Pay the minimums on all of the cards, and whatever's left over from that $400, you're going to take that money and you're going to pay off the lowest amount completely, right? The following month, you do the same thing. You take the lowest amount, you pay the minimums, and then whatever's left over, you snowball that amount to the next one. You keep doing that until you get this one account that's your biggest account, and now you take that $400 and you tackle it, you keep tackling it, and then eventually you'll realize that you'll be debt-free. That works because it motivates you, right? If you have a credit card that has $200 on it, and you went from having five cards to four cards, you see, like, oh wow, I see the result. I saw that if I stay focused, I cut down this one balance. Then the next month, you know, that card that has $500, it takes you 2 months to pay that off. Then those are those small wins, and psychologically it gives you the motivation to keep going.
At the same time, when you're chopping them down, you're decreasing the utilization rate.
Absolutely.
Right? So we're trying to keep that under 30%.
Under 30%. And I think what people love that 30% number.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter, too, is that so your credit goes 300 to 850. Anything over 720 is excellent credit. Those who have a 720 or above actually keep their utilization between 10 to 15%.
Even lower.
Even lower, right? Because the mindset or the way the FICO algorithm works is that it rewards people who don't seem as if they need credit.
Right.
So the more it looks like you need credit, the more they'll lower your score.
That's a fact, because actually I haven't checked my credit in a long time. I just checked it and it was a 780 and at 15% utilization rate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly that same number, 780. So
if you think about it, right, if I got a $100 card and I'm paying $90,
right,
that seems affordable, right? But if I got a $5,000 debt and I'm paying $90, you don't feel it.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna take interest on that. Now you really only paid $50,
right?
It doesn't feel the same.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this though. So let's say you have 10 credit cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pay off all 10 in full. Now you only start using one on a regular basis. You're not using the other nine.
Mm-hmm.
Does that hurt you?
No, it doesn't. So yes and no, right? So what happens is this, is that your utilization ratio is an aggregate of all the cards that you have, right? And so if you have, 10 cards, you're not using the other nine, and you're only using the one, it's going to help you because that one card is a small percentage of your total utilization. But what happens is if you're not using the other nine cards and the credit card companies realize that, you know what, this person's not using the card, so I'm going to close this account, then as they close the account,
that hurts
you because now 15% of your score is based on your length of credit history. And so one of those cards might have been a card that you had for a long time, which was helping your score. And once that card is closed, it negatively impacts you. Plus, you lose that utilization, right? Because now that credit limit is no longer available, so that your utilization ratio is going to go up once they close those cards, right? And so it definitely is sort of like a game. Like if you have that many credit cards, a lot of times I like to say if credit matters, right? If credit doesn't matter, like if you're not going to buy anything in a short term, then, you know, I wouldn't put stuff on your credit cards just to keep this number up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if credit matters, or if you're going to buy something or whatever the case may be and you need credit, I would say, you know, use your some credit cards for things that you would have paid cash for anyway. Right. And so if, let's say, for instance, you use cash to buy gas, right? Use a credit card, and that money that you would have, you know, paid, or that money you would have used to buy the gas, pay off the card with that. So that way there's at least some activity on it, so the credit card companies don't close it.
Let me ask you this also. Let's say you get, because they got all kinds of credit cards now. They got cards for like medical purposes,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have a low utilization rate, but you get one card for a medical purpose and you max that card out.
Yep.
But your other utilization is good, but you maxed that one card out.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts you?
It doesn't, because it's the aggregate, right?
Okay.
And so if you, let's say you had 10 cards with $1,000, right? And you max out one card at $1,000, your utilization is still only 10%, right? Because your total available limit is 10,000 when you look at all the cards. And so that's what I was saying, where
when you close it,
when you close it, it can hurt you. Because if you max out at $1,000, and let's say the nine cards say, you know what, he ain't using these cards, so let me close these out. Now your utilization go from 10% to 100%, and that's going to immediately, you know, dive your credit score.
That's a smart strategy, though, right? If you have 10 cards, maybe you have 10 different purposes. So if it's a supermarket, or if it's gas, or if it's, you know, electronics or something like that, like, you have a purpose for each one.
Not
just like, I'm randomly, all right, that one's max, let me go to the next. You know what I'm saying? Make a purpose for each card.
Yeah, because credit card debt is the worst type of debt that you could possibly have, right? Like credit card debt, you're paying more than what it's worth. So
and student loan.
Yeah, and student loans. I mean, but even with student loans, at least with student loans, you get a degree. You know, you're able to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a, you know, because I didn't get a degree till later on in life. So I'm, you know, I could go either way with student loans.
Yeah, me too, man.
But credit cards are like, is there's no reason why you should be paying credit card debt. You know what I'm saying?
All right. That's good information. Very good information. So let's go retirement plan, right? People, that's another question I got in the DM. Okay. So 401k.
Yep.
IRA, Roth IRA. Can we start with the 401k? Why is it a good idea for people to put money into a 401k?
Man, so the 401k is like free money. So first of all, is this, right? Is that when you think about your the money that you pay to the IRS, When you put money into a retirement account, it lowers you know what you have to pay to them, because part of that money is not tax deductible, right? Or you don't pay taxes on that money, right? And so putting your money in a 401k allows you to say, you know what, in the future I'll have this money to retire off, but I don't have to pay taxes on it right now, right? But also, a lot of employers will match your 401k. So they might match you up to 4%, which means that or 4%, 6%, 4% has been sort of like the industry norm that I've heard. And so if a job says, they want to encourage you to save for retirement. So they say, if you put whatever you put in, we're gonna match it up to 4%, which means that 4% is free money. And as long as you're vested, they might have a stipulation. All right, you have to be with our company 5 years or whatever the case may be. You keep that money. And so not investing in a 401k, you're actually losing money, free money that the employer would have given you. And so, so that's one reason. But then when you think about a retirement just as a whole, Social Security might not be here for us.
Right.
And so by the time, we become of age and it's time to retire, there's going to be a certain number that you're going to need each month to live off of, and you're going to want to have an account that will be able to supply some of that income so that you don't have to be 60, 70 working at Walmart.
So in the terms of people who come from the education field, obviously, I mean, I speak to teachers all the time. Mm-hmm. And yes, they educate our children, but they have no idea about finance. Sure. So we don't have a 401k, we have a 403b.
Yeah.
Same thing?
Same exact thing, right? Because the importance of that, especially, someone that works in the education field, is that you want to make sure that you're not going to be able to teach forever. And then when it's time for you to leave that, that institution, you want to be able to have money coming in. You want to diversify your income. And so putting that money out up front is going to allow it to grow. And if you find, right, so a lot of people are like weary, especially when you think about the Bernie Madoffs and what happened in the Great Recession 2008, 2009, people are like leery of, putting their money in the markets. But if you remove that isolated incident out, mm-hmm. on average, when you look at the stock market, markets are, it's always positive, right? And so just kind of keep an eye out on where your money's being invested. But that money is also the money that you put in is just not going to stay at the amount that you put in. Mm-hmm. You're actually going to earn interest on that, and that money's going to grow through compound interest. So that way, what you start off with is going to give you a nice little cushion for you when you retire.
Yeah, and also the Roth is another great way to
save. Yeah, I love
as well.
The Roth. Yeah, yeah.
That's the way where you don't pay you don't save money on taxes today, but it's tax free later on.
Absolutely.
Right?
And honestly, I like that better, right? Because what happens is this. Tax deductible means that, I can deduct this amount. If I put $10,000, or let's say I put $5,000 towards my retirement, and I made $45,000, then I could deduct that $5,000 off my taxes. I'm paying $40,000 in taxes. But then now that $5,000 that I put, when it grows to $100,000 when I retire, I now need to pay taxes as I withdraw that money, right? And so it's tax deductible, but you pay taxes later. And the whole thought process is that when I get older, I'll have a lower tax burden. And so that works that way. But with the Roth, I love the Roth because it's not tax deductible, but it's tax-free distribution, right? Which means, all right, great. I put $5,000 into this Roth IRA this year. I made $45,000. I'm going to pay $45,000 in taxes, right? But now that $5,000, when it grows to $100,000, and I could withdraw it tax-free. I never have to owe the IRS anything on that money, on that growth of that money. I love that, especially for young people. Maybe if you're a little older, it may not necessarily be the right thing to do. But the reason why I love it for young people is because, right now, as a young person who has more earning ability, you could take, bigger risk. Mm-hmm. And if you take that money that's in a Roth and you put it into something that is giving you a great rate of return, all of that growth you don't have to pay taxes on.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody said one time, they said, if you were never told the information, you can't be held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
If you were told the information and just chose not to do anything with, that's on you.
Absolutely.
Right?
I agree.
So you can never say you weren't told the information, people.
Yes. The application's up to you.
Right. The application part is up to you. We try and give you as much information as we can give you, but ultimately you have to apply it.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.